Good morning. It's so wonderful to see all of our friends here, parents and family of preschool children. What a delight it is to have your children with us, and it's great to have you a part of this worship service today. We're going to be treated to some music from the preschool singers in just a moment. Because we have a number of visitors here this morning, I want to tell you about a special Sunday that we're having in June, June the 10th. We have the Donut Man who's coming. This apparently is a spectacular kind of program. Has anybody ever seen the Donut Man? Yeah. So it's good stuff, is it? Yeah, great. I haven't. I've seen a lot of donuts, as you can tell. And I've never met a donut I didn't like, to be honest. But that's supposed to be a really neat time. So that'll be at the 10:30 service on June the 10th, if you're not doing anything that Sunday. I want to take a moment to hear if there are any prayer concerns or joys that you have that you'd like to share with one another. And our friend will bring a mic around to you that you can speak into if you would like to do that. Do you have a prayer concern or a joy that you'd like to share? Well, I appreciate the fact that you don't, apparently things are going well. No prayer concerns, but you're not very joyful, and that worries me a little bit. Yes.
This is working. Okay. I was grateful for the rain we had. I know it really poured, but it's better than no rain at all because it was really getting dry.
Anybody else grateful for rain? All right. Okay. Yeah, what a blessing. And I think we're going to get a little bit more of that blessing today, we're supposed to, right? Yeah. Yes.
All the parents and grandparents here with us this morning, and what a joy it is to have the preschool here in our congregation, to see the artwork on the walls, and to have the kids here throughout the week, and also a joy we have for the all those who work with the preschoolers, and we appreciate you as parents and grandparents for being with us today. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Gary. That really is true. Well, it is a real trip to have your children here. A lot of times they'll go by my office, which is back here, and they'll stick their heads in, is Pastor Bob here today? And it's really neat. We love your children, and so you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work, you parents. Any other sharing? Yes.
Just to add to Gary's, remember next week we're here at 10:30 again, so you're all welcome to come back with your families again.
Okay. Thanks.
Just to give you an update on Jeremy, the last time I said he was going to the hospital for a long time, they only had him in for a week because he had an infection, and they couldn't do what they wanted to do. They sent him home. He's on antibiotics. He went back in this week to the doctor. They kept him. He still has a bad infection, so that's what they're dealing with right now.
Thanks, Sue, for sharing that. And we'll continue to remember Jeremy Hartgraf in our prayers. Yes.
I would like to call for prayer for my neighbor. His name is Rick, and he's in alcohol rehab right now.
Rick, we'll lift up Rick in our prayers. Thank you, Paul. We have one back here.
Today's Amy's day coming home, so she's probably in the air right now, so keep her in your prayers.
Yeah, for those of you who are visitors, her granddaughter Amy has been in China with a group of high school students, and so we got the report. Was it just last Sunday that they landed in Beijing, or was it the Sunday before? It was a few days ago that they landed, and they landed safely, and now she's on her way home safely along with the others, and we thank God for that. Thank you. Anybody else, Jerry? Is there someone else? Okay. Let's pause right now and pray together. God, we thank you that we can gather together in this place. This is a place where there have we've experienced the joy of weddings and the sorrow of funeral services, where we've met together with children, where we've learned and grown, where we've been challenged, where we've been blessed, where we've been nurtured, where we've been encouraged. It's a place where we've felt the hug of a friend, and just significant things have happened within these walls. And you have equipped us here to go outside of these walls and share the love of Jesus as we go wherever we go. And so we're thankful for that. We thank you that we have a moment when we can pause and pray together for these concerns that have been lifted up. And we're grateful, Lord, that we can intercede on behalf of Jeremy and pray that you'd be with him and that you would touch him with healing, Lord. We pray for Rick, who has gone to rehab, and God, just put your loving arms around Rick and let him know how much you love him and how you're for him and you're not against him. You want him to get clean and sober and live the kind of life that you've created for him to live. We're so grateful for the rain. We're grateful for children and grandchildren who are away and are now returning home again. And we pray your traveling mercies for Amy and the others in her group. Thank you for all of the children who are a part of our preschool program and for their families. What a great looking group this is. We pray your blessing upon these families. Give them the grace and the courage and the strength to provide the kind of nurturing that these children need. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Let's rise to our feet, open your blue hymnal to number 102. Hopefully it's a hymn that is familiar. To God be the glory. Thank you. remain standing, and let's join together in this psalm of praise, Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into the courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. You may be seated. That was wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And who are these big preschoolers? Hey, have you ever made a paper airplane? Anybody? No? No? You've made a paper airplane. Yeah, I thought you, and you have, really? I want to show you how to make a magic paper airplane, okay? Want to see how to make a magic paper airplane? Okay, it's a little different than a regular paper airplane. Take a piece of paper, and rather than folding it in half, you take the long point and you fold it down along the side. And so it's a point like that. Isn't that a cool airplane? Well, I'm not done yet. Okay, then you take that sharp point. You feel how sharp that is? Oh, watch, don't cut yourself. Paper cuts, they're painful, aren't they? Yeah. And then you take that point and you fold it across to meet the other side. And then you have this. And that kind of looks like, what does that look like? Kind of like a house, doesn't it? But this is going to be an airplane. Are you ready? Then you take it and you fold the house in half. So it looks like half of a house, okay? And then the really cool part is where you take it and you fold down the wings. And voila! You have a really cool paper airplane. And the magical part of this airplane is it doesn't fly. You see? Because most paper airplanes fly, but this is magic. And the magic is it doesn't fly. And so if you do this with one of your friends and you really want to be kind of cool, don't try to fly it because it won't fly and then they'll laugh at you. So what you need to do, just hold it in your hand and say, look at this cool airplane. Yeah. Or can anybody whistle yet? I don't think I could whistle when I was your age. Can you whistle? Yeah. Or you could go. Or if you can hum and whistle together, listen to this. This is really cool. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Well, any of you ever been in an airplane? Have you? Have you? Whoa, a lot of you have. How high does an airplane go? High. Really high. Yeah. Does it go as high as the clouds? Uh-huh. Does it go higher than the clouds? Yeah. Do you think that you could take an airplane all the way to heaven? What do you mean? I thought it could go really high.
A rocket.
A rocket. Oh, okay. Well, then let's take our magic airplane and let's make it into a rocket, okay? Yeah. Boy, it's really hard to make this into a rocket. We're going to make a rocket. And so now we don't have a magic airplane anymore. We have a magic rocket. Isn't that cool? Whoa! Yeah. So you think in a rocket we could go to heaven, right? Yeah? Who thinks we could go to heaven in a rocket? They go into outer space and heaven is out there somewhere. So you could take a... You could take a rocket to heaven, right? Yeah, but see, the problem is, have any of you ever been in a rocket? No. Have any of you ever been in a rocket? Yeah. I don't think you can buy a ticket for a rocket. Yeah, but you know what? God has made a way for all of us to go to heaven. Not in an airplane, not in a rocket, but... What's that? What is it? That's a cross. Yeah. And what Jesus did was he took all of our sins, you know, those nasty things that we said or those times we pushed somebody and hurt them, or maybe you snuck something that you shouldn't have, or maybe you told a little white lie, just all of that stuff. Jesus took all of that stuff to the cross. And the Bible says he nailed our sins to the cross. And then after he took all of our sins and nailed them to the cross, Jesus looked out over everybody and said, Father, can you all say that with me? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so Jesus took our sins, nailed them to the cross, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can go to heaven. So there really aren't any magic airplanes or rockets, and the cross isn't magic either. It just shows how much our God loves us. And I know that you know that because you sang so beautifully that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for being such good singers and such good listeners. Thank you. At this time, we invite our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings and our gifts. We do this as an act of worship to our God, who has so generously given to us, and we return to our God a portion of what has been given to us. Thank you. Lord, we are so grateful for the children that you've given to us and all of the blessings that we enjoy. Our lives, there are times when it feels like our lives are just dripping with blessings. Thank you. We thank you, praise you, and we bless you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking through the book of Acts. The book of Acts is actually the history of the first church that started right after the ministry of Jesus some 2,000 years ago. And the book of Acts is recorded over a span of about 30 years. And we've been looking at that to try to figure out what these first Christians were all about. And so we're going to look at a story today that comes from Acts chapter 10. And it begins with verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what is known as the Italian regiment. He was a soldier with the Roman legion. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius?" Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." And then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m, when suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me. and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. And then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. God wants to bless you this morning. In fact, if we needed to try to figure out what kind of business God is in, I would say God is in the blessing business. God loves to bless his children, all of his children. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. God wants to bless you this morning. In fact, that was the call that God put on the life of Abram, who eventually became known as Abraham, the father of many nations. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. In fact, the Lord went on to say to Abraham, through you, all of the peoples of the earth will be blessed. You see, God usually chooses people to bless other people. And so this is what I want you to think about. I want you to be prepared for a person to come into your life today, certainly this week, to bless you. I believe in my heart of hearts that God has arranged, just as God arranged for this meeting between Cornelius and Peter to bless one another. Peter was blessed by Cornelius, and Cornelius and his family were blessed by Peter. And I believe God has already appointed someone to come into your life and bless you today or tomorrow or the next day. Will you receive God's blessing? How many of you remember that TV show years ago called Touched by an Angel? Anybody remember that show? Yeah. And the whole premise of the show was there were three angels. The only one whose name I remember was Monica. And these three angels were sent to people who were experiencing depression or heartache or grief to encourage them, to bring hope into their lives. And I believe that that's what God wants to do in your life today. That perhaps some of us here today need to be encouraged. And God wants to encourage you. And God has already appointed someone to come to you to encourage you. Or perhaps to confirm something that you've been thinking, gee, I wonder if God wants me to do this. I wonder if God wants me to go to the right or to the left. Should I start this business? Should I move into this new home? Should I buy this other car? That God already has someone appointed to come to you to bless you and clarify God's purpose for your life. Our God is in the blessing business. And God already has planned to bless you in ways that are just unbelievable. Ways that you don't expect, ways that certainly none of us deserve. God wants to bless us and sends angels into our lives. Now, I believe in supernatural angelic beings, but I think most of the angels that I've experienced in my life haven't had wings, but they've just been people. In fact, the word angel is translated from the Greek word angelos, and it means literally messenger. That's what it means. That's what an angel is. An angel is someone who brings a message, not just any message, but a good message. An angel is a person who brings good news to you. And I'm sure some of us have said, oh, what an angel you are. Haven't you said that? I think you have. Yeah. And so God has already appointed some angel, some messenger to come and bless you. Two summers ago, I have a sailboat, and I was down in Baltimore at the marina where we keep our boat, and I was getting it ready. My wife and I have four sons, and we were going to do a men's sailing adventure on the Chesapeake. And so there were some things I needed to do to my boat, and I was down there working, and I'm not a terribly mechanical kind of person. And so I was, I had a lot of grease on me. It looked like I knew what I was doing, but I was in a mess and didn't know how to get out of it. And so I decided to give up this day and go and to the shower house and clean up and get the grease washed off. And as I was walking toward the shower house, this boy, I learned later that he was 12 years old, though he was as tall as I am, he ran up and jumped into my arms. And as a reflexive action, I held my arms out, and he had his arms around my neck, and I was holding him and stunned. And then I heard his mother's voice behind me, "Nicholas, get down!" And she came up, she was very apologetic. She said, "I'm sorry, but this is my son Nicholas, and he's autistic. And he sometimes does things that seem inappropriate." And I said, "Well, listen, I'm a pastor. I'm used to people jumping in my arms." And I said, "But, there are some people who probably wouldn't have appreciated that." And she said, "You know what? That's the amazing thing about Nicholas. He always seems to know people who are okay." I felt so blessed to hear that I was, after all, okay. I don't know how it is with you, but sometimes I think I'm weird, Honestly, sometimes I just think, there is something. I don't know, did my mother drop me on my head when I was, what is wrong with me? Honest. And there are just times when I need to know I'm okay. And I wasn't feeling very okay that day. I was feeling pretty stupid, that here I was trying to get this boat ready to go out on a sailing adventure with my sons, and I couldn't get the thing figured out, and it wasn't anything real complicated. I was just trying to figure out how to hook up the batteries, okay? So, and to just hear that I was okay, it was such a blessing. And the blessing didn't end there. Nicholas's dad was a mechanical genius. And he came into my boat and he said, "You see that wire? Where you take that and you hook it to that wire and there you go, wham, you're done." And we were so blessed by Mike, and Debbie was the mom, and Nicholas, and he had a sister, Rhiannon. And they had built their own sailboat, and they were sailing around the world and just happened to be in our marina to get their boat out of the water and do some work that needed to be done. What a blessing! Nothing that I deserved, nothing that I imagined would happen that day, nothing I expected. I mean, that was one of those days when everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, and I was just waiting for the next foot to drop, And in the midst of that kind of day, God said, "Have I got a blessing for you?" And I want to tell you, folks, has God got a blessing for you? Our God is in the blessing business. And He's already has someone in mind who's on their way now, even as we speak, to come and bless you. Now, here's the difficult part. There are sometimes barriers that we allow to get in the way of receiving the blessings that God wants to do in our lives. And so what we need to learn how to do is how to get rid of those barriers that are sometimes in the way of the blessings, that keep us from pressing on into the blessings. And I want to share with you very briefly four kinds of barriers that can get in the way of the blessings that God wants to bring into every one of our lives. The first barriers are kind of physical barriers. They're just sort of normal things. I mean, in this story that we just read, one of the barriers to Peter and Cornelius getting together was a physical barrier of distance. I mean, Caesarea is right along the Mediterranean in the northern part of coastal Israel, and Joppa is right along the Mediterranean in the southern part of coastal Israel. And I don't know if you noticed that it said it took more than a day for Peter to get up to the home of Cornelius. And so there was kind of a physical barrier. Sometimes the language can be the physical barrier. I was the pastor of a church in Westminster, Maryland, and the local farm had been right next to our church campus had been bought by a real estate speculator and was converted into a planned community that today has over 2,000 homes on this 397-acre farm. And so we decided as a church that we would start going out every Thursday night at any home that had been completed during the past week and had someone moved in. We would go out and we would knock on the door and we would say, "Welcome to the community." We gave them a little bag with some things in, kind of a welcome wagon kind of bag, and we invited them to come and worship with us sometime if they didn't have a church. And over the next year, of the hundred homes that were built there that first year, 17 of those families became a part of our church, and it was really wonderful. Well, the very first time we went out, one of the doors we knocked on, the man who came to the door was an elderly gentleman from Italy, and he didn't speak a word of English. I still don't know the story of why this elderly Italian who couldn't speak English had moved into this new home in Westminster, Maryland, but that's the story. And his wife was very ill, and he had such a limited English skill that he didn't even know how to read in the telephone book how to call the hospital or call a doctor or what have you. And we just happened to arrive at precisely a moment of need. We weren't there to do any great miracle or any kind of great work of God. We were just there to pass out a little bag of goodies and try to get out there, get away before somebody shot us. You know, we weren't exactly the most courageous persons in our door knocking back in those days. And we met a man who couldn't speak English, whose wife had become critically ill, and we were able to arrange for her to get medical care and perhaps saved her life. We were willing to press through a physical barrier that stood in the way of that woman receiving God's blessing. We were the people God had appointed to go and bring a blessing to that woman. Sometimes the barriers are cultural barriers. You know, things like if your religion is being a Republican, then you know, the religion of being a Democrat is, you know, the wrong religion. You know what I'm saying? That we have political and cultural differences with one another, and, you know, we don't want to go to the church where if you're a Republican, you don't want to go to the Democrat church, and if you're a Democrat, you don't want to go to the Republican church. There are those kind of cultural differences, and that's what this story is all about. I mean, Cornelius was the absolute last person that Peter would have willingly gone to. I mean, Peter is a faithful Jew. In today's language, we would refer to Peter as an Orthodox Jew. And there's no way that an Orthodox Jew is going to go into the home of someone like Cornelius, who's a pagan. I mean, he was a Roman. He was a centurion, which meant that he oversaw a company of at least 100 men. And, you know, the Romans, they believed that Caesar was a god and had to worship Caesar, though I doubt that that was true of Cornelius in his heart of hearts as we read the story about his own spiritual life. But just on the surface of things, Cornelius was absolutely the last person that Peter would have been willing to have gone to bless because of their cultural differences. And yet, God invited Peter to step through that cultural barrier and go and bring a blessing to Cornelius and his whole family. And what a blessing it was for Peter, you know, as a preacher, you know, to come into a room full of people where everybody's saying, okay, come on, start preaching. We're here. We want to hear what you have to say. I mean, you know, nowadays it's more like, okay, let's get the dread over with, you know. The Phillies are going to be on in 45 minutes. Come on, let's move it, you know. And so I think Peter is absolutely blessed and elated because there's a whole house full of people who are just sitting on the edges of their seats. They can't wait to hear what he has to say. It was a mutual blessing. A third kind of barrier that we sometimes have are personal barriers. Just, you know, they're just some people that we simply don't like them. You know, we can't even explain it. We just know that we just don't like them. We don't want to be around them. My mother-in-law felt that way about me, and I couldn't understand why. But, but you know what I'm saying, that there are people that we just don't quite connect with, and we'd rather not spend any time with them, and that creates a barrier. Folks from this congregation have heard this story before, but there are a lot of visitors here today, so I can afford to tell it again. When I was a young know-it-all pastor right out of seminary at the age of 28, this elderly pastor from a tiny little church came to visit me, and I was very polite, but when he left, I remember distinctly thinking to myself, when he left, I thought, now here is a man that I will never, ever be a friend of. We were just too different. He was, you know, he wasn't a seminary graduate, you know. And he was a little older. And I mean, the only reason he was the pastor of this church was because it was a small church and they couldn't get anybody else and he volunteered, you know. And so I was kind of glad that he left. And then he came back the next week and he said, hey, how about if we start getting together once a week and praying together? And I thought, oh, Lord. You know, but I was too immature to be able to say, no thanks. I was insecure, you know. And, you know, have you ever gotten into those kind of situations where somebody asks you to do something that you really don't want to do, but you're too insecure to say, no, I don't really want to do that, you know. That's how I get stuck doing the dishes at home, because I'm still too insecure to say, no, I don't really want to do that. Actually, my wife can testify, I help with the dishes every night now that there are only two of us at home. It's only two dishes and we're good to go. there are those personal differences that we need to press on through, and I thank God that I was too immature to say to Frank Keller, no, I don't want to pray with you. Because Frank has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. He has since gone on to be with the Lord. But Frank and I and another local pastor, Pastor Irv, whom many of you know, we started meeting together every Wednesday to pray together. And I don't know about Irv, but I learned more from Frank Keller, that uneducated country preacher, in 1 year than I learned in 3 years of theological study at seminary. It was such a blessing that I almost missed because I had a barrier, a personal barrier. He just didn't seem like my type. And there's a final barrier, and that is we have spiritual barriers. We You and I have been hurt by people. That's true of all of us. You know, we used to talk about this family being a dysfunctional family. But you know what? I don't know any family that is not a dysfunctional family. You know, we all have our issues. We have our strengths. We have our weaknesses. We get it some of the times, but most of the time, we just don't get it, you know? And we say things and do things that are hurtful, and we carry these wounds around with us, and then bitterness and unforgiveness sets in. And I find all the time I'm dealing as a pastor with brothers and sisters, with family members, mothers and fathers, parents, and children who just are out of sorts with one another and can't even remember anymore where that relationship got off track, and bitterness and unforgiveness sets in. And it becomes a barrier to the blessing that God wants to bring. Listen, God wants to bless you today. There is some heartache that some of us have today that God wants to heal. But there are barriers that stand between you and the blessing that God wants to bring into your life. Some of those barriers are physical. Some of them are cultural. Some of them are just sort of personal hang-ups that we have. Some of them are spiritual barriers. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. Will you step through that barrier today, whatever it is, and receive the blessing that God has for you? Let's pray. Lord, this is a prayer that I'm hoping that will reach all the way to heaven. Because as we stand and sit before you this morning, we are people who need a blessing. Who need the blessing of forgiveness, who need the blessing of encouragement, who need to hear that we are okay. Who need to know that there is we're going to get another chance to get it right, or maybe even more than one more chance. Lord, we're awaiting the blessing that you have in store for us. Give us the courage and the wisdom to step through any barriers that may stand between us and the blessing that you want to give. Help us to step through them and receive that blessing that you have for us today, tomorrow, the next day. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and let's sing our closing hymn together.
In our midst.
Okay, this is preschool Sunday. Let's pretend we're preschoolers and act something out as we leave from here. I want you to imagine that we are immersed in a capsule of blessing. And, well, and actually we are. I mean, if there wasn't any oxygen in this room, you would say, boy, a little oxygen would be a real blessing right now, okay? So I want you to reach out and take a hold of a handful of blessing. Go ahead, do it. I've already told you, you're okay. Okay? You got a hold of some blessing? I want to pray with you. God, we need a blessing today. For each of us, that blessing may, that need may be just a little different. But just as we've reached out and pretended to take a hold of a blessing, Lord, in our heart of hearts, help us to do that, to press through any barrier that may get in the way of receiving the blessing. Bless us, Lord. Keep us. Let your face shine upon us. Give us grace, peace, rest. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.